Welcome to the Raising with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day with the life of Jesus meets yours. We've got your daily Bible reading for May 29th, 2019, looking at Acts chapter 23. We'll begin with the last verse of Acts chapter 22. The next day, since the commander wanted to find out exactly why Paul was being accused by the Jews, he untied him and ordered the chief priests and all the Sanhedrin to meet. Then he brought Paul down and had him stand before them. Acts 23. Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, "Gentlemen, brothers, I have lived my life before God with a completely clear conscience to this very day." But the high priest Ananias ordered those who were standing near Paul to strike him in the mouth. Then Paul said to him, "God is going to strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit there judging me according to the law, and then you order them to strike me contrary to the law." Those who were standing nearby said, "Do you dare to insult God's high priest?" Paul replied, I did not know, brothers, that he is the high priest. Indeed, it is written, "You shall not speak evil about a ruler of your people." When Paul realized that some of them were Sadducees and the others were Pharisees, he shouted out in the Sanhedrin, "Gentlemen, brothers, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. I am on trial concerning the hope for the resurrection of the dead." When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, or angel, or spirit, but the Pharisees believe in them all. Then there was a great uproar, and some of the experts in the law who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and protested strongly. "We find nothing wrong with this man. What if a spirit or an angel spoke to him?" The uproar became so great that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. He commanded the soldiers to go down, take him away from them by force, and bring him into the barracks. The following night, the Lord stood next to Paul and said, "Take courage. As you have solemnly testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome." When the day came, the Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves with an oath, saying that they would not eat or drink until they had killed Paul. There were more than 40 who took part in this plot. They went to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a solemn oath not to taste anything until we have killed Paul. Now then, you and the Sanhedrin file charges with the commander, so that he will bring him down to you as if you were going to make a more thorough examination of his case. We are ready to kill him before he gets close to this place." But when the son of Paul's sister heard about the ambush, he went into the barracks and told Paul. Then Paul told one of the centurions and said, "Take this young man to the commander, because he has something to report to him." So they brought him to the commander and said, "The prisoner Paul has called for me and asked me to bring this young man to you, because he has something to tell you." The commander took him by the hand, led him aside, and asked him privately, "What is it that you have to tell me?" He said, "The Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul down to the Sanhedrin tomorrow, as if they want to gain more accurate information about him. Don't let them persuade you, because more than 40 of their men are waiting in ambush for him. They have bound themselves under a solemn oath not to eat or drink until they have killed him. They are ready right now, waiting for your consent." So the commander dismissed the young man with this order, "Don't tell anyone that you have reported these things to me." And then he called two of the centurions and said, "Get 200 soldiers ready, along with 70 cavalry and 200 spearmen, to go as far as Caesarea at the third hour of the night. Also provide mounts, so they can put Paul on one and bring him safely to Felix, the governor." He wrote a letter as follows: "Claudius Lysias, to His Excellency Governor Felix, greetings. This man was seized by the Jews and was about to be killed by them when I came with the soldiers and rescued him, because I learned that he is a Roman citizen. Since I wanted to know the charge they were bringing against him, I brought him down to their Sanhedrin. I found he was being accused concerning questions of their law, but there was no charge that deserved death or imprisonment. When I was informed that there would be a plot against this man, I sent him to you at once. I also ordered his accusers to state what they have against him before you. farewell. So the soldiers, according to their orders, took Paul and brought him to Antipatris during the night. The next day they let the cavalry go on with him, while they returned to the barracks. When the cavalry came to Caesarea, they delivered the letter to the governor and handed Paul over to him. After the governor had read the letter, he asked what province he was from. When he learned that he was from Cilicia, he said, "I will give you a hearing when your accusers arrive." Then he ordered that Paul should be kept under guard in Herod's palace. This is the word of our God. When Jesus appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus, he said, and when he had spoke to Ananias about going to speak with Paul and give Paul his sight, Jesus said, "I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." And when Jesus said that, he wasn't concerned in retribution. He wasn't concerned in, you know, getting back at Paul for the time of persecution. He was concerned with teaching Paul and using Paul as an example of his grace in bringing Paul from persecutor to preacher, and his grace in demonstrating to Paul and through Paul that God's grace was and God's strength is really greater than any worldly opposition. And this now, kind of the beginning of the fourth missionary journey already, is a prime example of that fact. From here in chapter 23, all the way through the end of the book, five chapters later, all it is Paul standing trial, and Paul being taken from one place to another, and the journey that started with that false accusation at the temple is finally going to culminate with being brought to Rome and living under house arrest for a while. And that living under house arrest, he probably is released for a while after that for one fifth and final missionary journey, perhaps all the way to Spain, before the opposition catches up with him. And he is eventually put to death, probably around the year 67, give or take. But when Jesus said to Ananias about Paul, "I will show him how much he must suffer for my name," that is a beautiful, beautiful statement of the cross, the theology of the cross, which is the belief and the biblical truth that God hides his power in weakness, God hides his glory in humility, and God hides his blessing through pain and suffering and trial. Because if Paul had a, you know, very easy road, very simple road before him, he wouldn't have had opportunity to really test the depths of God's love for him. He wouldn't be driven back to the Word of God to examine it time and again, and confronted with reality of holding on to the promises of God despite every bit of opposition and despite every appearance that God had deserted him. Paul knew from the Word of God that God had not deserted him. Paul knew that, and you and I know the same thing, that the fact Jesus has risen from the dead means God is on your side, and it means that God cares for you and watches out for you no matter what happens, and especially when bad things happen in this world. You know, and we could talk about things that are morally bad versus things that are evil versus events that are just neutral and bad from our current perspective. But the overarching idea is that your Savior took on human flesh. He became a child and grew up to be a man and was completely innocent. Yet he submitted himself to death and was crucified on the cross and was raised from the dead in power and glory. And you know what God thinks of you, not based on the circumstances of your life or on the feelings or the, you know, the happy accidents or happy occurrences and instances of this life. You know what God thinks about you and how God feels about you based on what he has said. And that truth goes beyond every element of our human experience. That truth is a comfort every single time, because God cannot lie. Jesus rose from the dead to guarantee your forgiveness. And so with Paul, we could say, you know, come mourning and trial and woe, doesn't matter what it is, I know that God cares about me and cares for me. And the reason I know that is because my Jesus was raised from the dead, and I will live with him forever. You can find us tonight, 7 p.m. worship at 2250 South Hollins Vineyard Road, Maumee. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Ascension worship over at Hosanna Lutheran Church, 8353 Monclover Road, and Sunday morning worship at 9 a.m. God bless your day.